Hello, everybody. How is it going? Good afternoon. Welcome to Radio Laurier News at Noon. I'm your host, Jeffrey, along with my co-host, Rajni, as you guys, I'm sure, have grown accustomed to. Please excuse me. It's been a long day today. I'm sure you guys know it's kind of coming to the end of the semester. We're kind of just figuring our stuff out, looking towards the summer. So without further ado, I'm going to hand the reins to Rajni to give you guys a little COVID update.
Okay, so we'll start with some good news. For the province of Ontario, our daily case count has actually fallen to below 1,000 cases. So today, I think our daily case count was like 966, which is a step in the right direction. However, we can't become complacent in this because we still haven't gotten our vaccine rollout as efficient as we would like it to be, which is a serious concern, especially because there are quite a few new variants circulating. And I was recently informed of a new variant that originated in New York. And that can be really problematic for us because I'm sure lots of people would cross the border at New York for work and all that, which is not restricted since it's considered essential travel. So still, even though we're decreasing in cases, guys, just be careful, wear your masks, stay home as much as possible, and try not to engage in any like crowded places or attend any large gatherings. I'm sure none of those are happening anyway, but just be careful and be on the lookout. And I guess it goes without saying to do not travel unless it's absolutely necessary. Which kind of brings me into our next point, because as we all know, the recent guidelines for international travelers have been to quarantine in a hotel at your own expense. And there have been several stories of people staying in these hotels and receiving poor quality food or being overcharged. So this one woman had traveled to Portugal for her father's funeral, and she's a Canadian citizen though. But her one night stay in the hotel costed her almost $3,500. And wow. In addition to that, she had been misled about the nightly rate for the hotel. So originally when she called, she was given one rate, and then when she went with her family to check in, they charged her another rate. And there was also like very little support for her before entering the country. Like, she basically had to book the hotel the same night when she arrived. And they waited for a shuttle for almost an hour, and then when it didn't come, they were told to just take a taxi. So the original price she was quoted was $369 per night. And then when she got there, their price suddenly went up to $769 per night plus tax. And it's not that she didn't tell them how many people were in her party. She had three people and she told them as much over the phone. But apparently they just felt like increasing the price and gouging her when she arrived. And then on top of that, they didn't even get a proper meal. She said they just got three sandwiches and three bottled waters after traveling all day. Yeah.
That's crazy. And
yeah, exactly. And so her card was charged almost $3,500 to stay in the hotel between February 27th and March 1st. However, her test came back negative the next day, so she only basically spent 15 hours in the hotel itself. And the other thing is that they were required to book a three-night minimum in the hotel, and apparently that wasn't able to be cancelled, so even though she only spent 15 hours in the hotel, she still had to pay for the whole thing, for the whole three nights.
Yeah, that's just a real finesse. Which is crazy.
And she said there was no special care or any steps taken to treat them differently, given that they came from the airport, which I would imagine also implies that there was not any particular health protocol taken to guide them into the hotel. Which is unsafe for the staff and the other guests as well, in addition to being inconvenient and like off-putting for the traveler. And can you imagine coming from your parents' funeral after traveling all day, and you get sent through all of this for what? You know?
Yeah, that's super rough. Honestly, like, I think I did see that. Like, I saw the headline or something.
Yeah.
And do you know, like, who... I think I saw something relating the prices from the hotel with like government institutions or something. But like, was it just yeah, sorry, go ahead.
There's a certain set of hotels in the, like, at least in the Toronto area that I know of, that are like approved, government approved quarantine hotels. And I think the reason why the prices are higher for those is because they have to do like the intensive cleaning, and it's supposed to include meals. Like, it's supposed to include the proper meals for the duration of your stay. However, there's also been lots of complaints that the meals are not good either. Like, I'm not sure if you follow Six Buzz, but like, there was a video of a guy complaining about the portion sizes of his food and like the quality of his food that he got. And he paid like $40 for that meal, but it was pretty small, I'm not gonna lie. Like, I don't think that was a sufficient portion for a full adult person, not for the price of $40.
Well, that's crazy, honestly. That's just larceny, if that's a good word for that.
And it's just not very well planned altogether, because you would think that for the hotel to be approved by the government, they should have had to submit like a transport plan and a meal plan, like what they're planning to feed the guests. Because I think that's what the schools had to do when they were told that they could accept international students coming back. They had to submit a plan to the government to get it approved that they had a proper quarantine facility, which I imagine would include like meals, like the transportation from the airport and all of that. So how come the hotels don't have to do that either? You know?
Yeah, that's just wild. Like, I mean, yeah, I don't even know like what to say to that. That's just one of those things where it's like, I guess from the hotel / government's perspective, they're trying to like give motivation for people not to leave, because then they're gonna have to pay like much. Yeah. And then I guess from the woman's perspective, she was like one of the few people that has like a terrible circumstance. Yeah. They're just like kind of lining up with that, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's just super unfortunate for that lady.
Because, I mean, you don't need to travel to go on vacation, but I think, like, death of a family member is a necessity to travel. Like, if possible, it's not like you can say, oh, that's non-essential travel, you know? I mean, on compassionate grounds.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, let me ask you a question real quick. Go ahead. when you went to Jamaica, you went, like, recently, like, a couple months for Christmas, right?
Yeah.
What was the quarantine rules like in when you landed in Jamaica? Was it different, or was it
when
like
I landed in Jamaica? It was quite informal. So the thing is, because I'm a citizen of Jamaica, so I didn't have to do a test before I came, and I also wasn't coming from like a high COVID area like Texas or New York or Florida, so my quarantine procedures was actually like pretty lax. Like, I could quarantine at home, and all I had to do was like check into this app. I had to download this app and like send 2 videos per day saying like I'm at home, and then you turn on your location and they make sure that you're at home. And of course, because I was at my parents' house, they enforced the quarantine. So I didn't go anywhere during the 2 weeks. I just stayed home, stayed in my room for the most part, and my mom brought me meals upstairs. So it was quite relaxed compared to how it was when I came back to Canada, where it was like very highly organized, like very streamlined. The only thing is, when I went home, I had to wait for a very long time, like in the actual airport itself, whereas in Canada my process was just like in, out, present your papers, like you're free to go kind of thing. And then I took the shuttle to the school quarantine facility.
But, wow, I don't know why I'm slightly surprised that you had to like send video or pictures twice a day. Like, I find that's interesting. That's pretty. I would have expected it to be like more lax than that, you know?
Yeah, it was actually, that app was actually stricter than the one I had to, like the ArriveCan app, because the ArriveCan app just had made you click like yes or no, do you have symptoms, and like, are you leaving your quarantine facility? Are you planning to have guests? And obviously I would put no, because like, one, I couldn't leave anyway, and two, why would I have guests if I'm supposed to be in quarantine? So, but the thing is, actually I recently found out that the makers of the app that I use when I was at home, the Jam COVID app, They apparently didn't use a secure server, so everyone who used that app, all of their information, all of their video is just like open.
No
which is
way.
such a joke. It's such a
Oh
joke.
my
Like, this
God.
is an app sponsored by the government. The government is like in charge of getting people to download this app, and it's required for everyone coming into the country. And they had the lack of foresight to not get a secure server. It's just crazy to me how that kind of stuff works. But coming from home, it's not even surprising. It's disappointing, but I'm definitely not surprised.
Yeah, that's honestly wild.
Yeah.
Honestly. But yeah, any more COVID news or should we move forward with the topics?
We can probably move forward to more positive topics because, I mean, the COVID news doesn't really change that often, if I'm being honest.
So for today, I have a couple of just sort of little bits of info here and there that we can kind of just bounce ideas off. One of them, I'm going to start with this just because it's probably like the most irrelevant or the most trivial piece of information, but it's also pretty relevant to people our age group, so if any of our listeners. So
yeah.
I'm sure you, do you know who the rapper Meek Mill is?
Mm-hmm.
Meek Mill? Yeah, you know Meek
Mill,
right?
Yeah, I don't listen to him. I know of him.
Did you hear about the controversy surrounding his new lyrics?
No, what was it?
Okay, so basically, in his new song, and I think it's with Lil Baby and Lil Durk or something, he has one line where he says, I'm gonna go out with my choppa like Kobe.
Oh,
and
no.
Yeah, he said that.
Oh,
he said that.
Oh, my God. He did not say that.
Yeah, he said that. And
oh my God.
So Vanessa Bryant, Kobe's wife, like went for his neck, like just went after him. Yeah, of course. And it's funny because I think his first tweet after receiving the backlash was like, oh, like I'm a rapper, I don't care, I'm gonna say whatever I want. And then his second tweet was like, oh, I'm so sorry for the family, like Vanessa, I apologize.
Wow.
Yeah, like, you know, his PR team was like, nah, like, fix yourself. Like, you know?
Oh my goodness.
So,
that is way too soon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was...
I feel like...
Yeah.
There's just certain things that you don't go for when you're making rap. Like, I know rap is supposed to be, like, out there and bold, but there's certain things that are just off limits. Like, no.
Yeah. Like,
you don't
that,
just joke
that
about
was...
someone... dying tragically,
yeah.
like
that lyric would actually, like, honestly, like, from an objective standpoint, like, it's a kind of like decent bar, like play on words, you know what
it
I'm
is
saying?
Technically a decent bar, but like contextually it's just wrong.
Oh yeah, contextually. So I was like, if he was to have said that in like 30 years,
yeah,
like it would have been like, yeah, you know, like people like, hey, you know, like, but
yeah,
like a year after.
Only a year.
Like, come on.
It's barely been a year. Come on.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, I used to be a pretty big Meek Mill fan, and then recently he's just been messing up in like the mainstream and just doing a lot of stupid stuff, and I'm just like, oh, I can't like you as much anymore.
Yeah.
But other than Meek Mill, there's one more, not lyric, but it's sort of like a quote related to a celebrity. So there's this Netflix show, I think it's called Gina and Georgina or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Gina and something like that. That's not the most important part. Anyways, in this sitcom, I think it's a comedy or sitcom, there's one episode where one of the characters is like, says something like, oh, you go through boys faster than Taylor Swift or something like along the lines of that.
Yeah.
And Taylor Swift like responded like right away, and she's like, oh, like, this is not 2010, this is sexist, like, why are you coming for me, yada yada, like, you know what I'm saying, all this little, she was just going after the TV producers or whatnot. And then a lot of the people on the internet were kind of more like, just like, no, that's funny because it's true. I don't know like anything really about Taylor Swift, but like this was like a decently big kind of controversy.
I mean,
but,
I think I can understand why she would be offended, but I don't know if it's necessarily sexist. because it
is
true that she did like date lots of people, and I mean her songs are written about people that she dated, so
exactly.
I feel like that's just it's just like it comes with the territory of being a public figure like that. Like she wrote the songs and her personal life is like is the inspiration behind the songs, so I don't think it's wrong for her for the TV producers to make that a joke. I mean, I don't really understand why it's sexist, because I mean people make jokes about like I'm pretty sure people have made jokes about male singers and their personal lives too, you know.
Oh yeah, 100%.
I mean, like people make the Chris Brown Rihanna joke all the time, which is like that's a toxic joke, but that's a different story. But I mean, like people have that, I guess, perception of Chris Brown's character, and it has been used as the premise of a few jokes before, like in other forms of media. So I don't think it's necessarily sexist. Like I think she has a right to be upset by it, but I wouldn't go so far as to call it sexist, you know. But like the right to be upset so much as we feel like uncomfortable when we're shown like or cringy tweets that we wrote when we were 13, you know.
Yeah
But I don't think it's like that serious of a like a I don't think it's a sexist issue.
Yeah, I completely agree with everything you just said, but I would go one step further and say she has no right to get mad simply because I feel like if you're a celebrity and you're gaining all the benefits of being a celebrity and you're dealing with all the bad parts, like regardless, like that's one of the bad things of being a celebrity. Like you're getting judged by literally millions, and in Taylor Swift's case, like hundreds, probably millions of people.
Yeah.
And like you just gotta understand, like you can't, like obviously I get why she would be offended, but like that's such a, I feel like I've heard that so many times in like Family Guy and like different shows.
Yeah, it's like just, it's not a new joke anymore.
It is, yeah, like it is what it is, you know what I'm saying? Like you know you at the end of the day, so don't get hurt when other people misinterpret yourself, you know what I'm saying? Like that's how I think of it.
But I get where you're coming from completely, and plus she's the one who wrote the songs about the people that she used to date. And it wasn't any secret that that's who the songs were about. So it's like when people get called out for tweeting something, like you tweeted that, you know you tweeted it. And part of free speech is having the ability for people to respond to what you say. So yeah, I guess that's true. Like there's no sense in being like upset about it.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it just comes with the territory.
Yeah. But let's move on from Taylor Swift. We have about 10 minutes or so left. So, as I'm sure you remember, we've had many discussions about the Uyghurs and Xinjiang and China. Mm-hmm. So, basically, recently, like today or yesterday, the UN has, or China has essentially opened its doors for the UN to come, UN Human Rights Chief Michelle Bachelet, Bachelet, to come and like check out basically Xinjiang and like do like a little investigation on the human rights abuses allegation. Yeah. So China's like, we can come, but they're basically saying like, don't come like thinking that, don't come with like the bias that we're committing human rights violations. Which is not a bias, it's a fact. It's a literal fact. But
like people have come as eyewitnesses to prove it.
Yeah, literally. Like it's the sovereign state of China is just gets on my nerves.
But it kinda makes you wonder like if they're opening it up to let people come in, like they obviously didn't just open it organically. Like they would have had to, they probably have been curating it and shaping it in such a way that it kind of like looks fine and looks like everything's fine, but obviously everything is not fine, you know. So I would say that them opening it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, Honestly, like, it was just, like, a little piece of news, but I thought I'd just mention it, because it's going to probably lead up to some things we're going to be talking about in the coming weeks.
Yeah.
But I do have another piece of information that's actually quite interesting. So,
sure.
Rajni, if you were to guess, roughly speaking, between Biden and Trump, who would you think had, like at this moment has the worst immigration policy? Or, yeah, asylum, refugee policy kind of thing.
I haven't, to be honest, I'm not very informed on Biden's immigration policy, but I know that Trump had some very unreasonable and, like, I don't know, maybe not unconstitutional, but I would have thought that they were racist and xenophobic immigration policies, especially, like, how he was separating the kids from their parents at the border. And how he blanket banned immigration from certain countries without any real premise for doing so.
Oh, yeah, no. Trump definitely, without a doubt, had some very bigoted, xenophobic sort of immigration policies. The funny thing, though, is, like, the way that you can word certain things, our use of language allows people to give justification to certain things. Because if you say it in a certain way, it makes kind of sense. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
But regardless, I actually found this out last night and I was kind of low-key shocked. So right now there's kind of a crisis going on in Haiti. And it's sort of centered around the people of Haiti are trying to, like, oust the dictator, the current dictator of Haiti, who, like, lost the election, but he refused to, like, give up power, essentially.
Yeah.
And so the whole country is just in, like, turmoil, just because it's, like, almost like a civil war kind of thing. Not really, but basically. Mm-hmm. And obviously, because Haiti's in the Caribbean, it's in the Caribbean, right?
Yeah.
It's in the Caribbean. So, obviously, because it's so close to the States, that's, like, one of the major countries.
Yeah, lots of immigrants try to reach Miami, actually, on boats most of the time.
Yeah, so basically, for whatever reason, since the because of this crisis, there's been many Haitians basically going to Miami and wherever in the States seeking asylum. Biden administration is sending boats of people from Haiti back, like,
wow,
I think it's 3 or 4 times higher than the Trump administration did. Like, they're sending, like, I don't want to say a stat because I couldn't think of it off the top of my head, but it's, like, more than double. It's around triple the amount of boats are being sent back from U.S. to Haiti than there were under the Trump administration. And obviously, this is because, like, the crisis is kind of new, but it wasn't just Haiti. It's just, like, immigration in general, essentially.
Oh, really?
And but basically,
is that linked to the pandemic, though? Sorry, I was just asking if it was linked to the pandemic.
Yeah.
I feel as though it's probably, like, equally unsafe for both American citizens as well as the refugees to be, like, admitted into a country that has such high rates of COVID, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's the thing. The reason that they're sending them back is because it's because of a law that Trump introduced that allows the U.S. to refuse asylum access or whatever to people during a health crisis, and obviously a health crisis constitutes the pandemic.
Yeah.
So basically, and I get what you're saying, like, it's in neither party's interest, but at the same time, like, I was watching a little documentary on this, and essentially a lot of these Haitians, it's either they come to the U.S. or, like, wherever they go, or they just die. Like, they go back and they're dead for it's whatever reason. Like,
complicated issue. Like, it's not, like, it's very hard to say that there's a right answer for either side of it, because it's, like, if you allow them to come in, suppose they get COVID, and, I mean, if you're setting up refugee camps or some, like, temporary housing areas, those places are really easy to spread COVID and other, like, communicable diseases. Plus, given the fact that the U.S. is so, like, has the highest, does it still have the highest caseload in the world? There's so many people with COVID in the U.S. that it's just not safe for the refugees themselves, and as well as not safe for the people who would be, like, working with them too. But at the same time, it's like, do you want to just send people back to an inevitable death at sea? And they're fleeing from like civil unrest in their own country, and it's just, that's a very hard place for a person to be in as a politician, as well as for the, obviously for the refugees, but yeah, jeez.
Yeah, see, I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, where else could they seek asylum? Like, where else could they go? And obviously, like, air travel would probably be out of the question, just because of like monetary reasons, because Haiti's a really poor country. Extremely poor.
Regarding like other places they could seek asylum from, I know that there's a good amount of Haitians who have sought asylum in the past in other Caribbean countries, like including Jamaica. And you would kind of think that as another fellow Caribbean country, we wouldn't really discriminate so much against people from other nearby countries. But apparently there's a lot of, I don't know if it's racism, because I mean, it's not like a racial thing, it's maybe like it's a xenophobic thing. Like, people don't like Haitians at home, and they're kind of prejudiced against them. And I think that if they tried to seek asylum in Jamaica, they'd probably face similar treatment. Like, they'd probably be turned away as well. So it's like they could probably, and I think historically, it's not gone well for them when they try and cross into Dominican Republic either, because there is like a significant amount of racism and discrimination against Haitians in the Dominican Republic, even though it's on the same landmass. So,
wow, that's very interesting.
And it's like, you wouldn't really you kind of expect it from like developed countries, because it's like coming from a third world country and everything, but like among other underdeveloped countries, it's like, why do we have to be so hateful to each other, you know? Like, we're all basically the same place.
Yeah, honestly, that just brought up an idea that I've had for like a while, because personally, like, I went to a high school in Toronto where I was the minority, like, it was majority people of color, basically, is the easiest way to say it. So most of my high school, like all of my high school friends, are like Southeast Asian, Black, like whatever, you know, like basically everywhere. And I've found, which a lot of people don't seem to understand unless you've actually like hung out with people, and I've also like been to many like countries and stuff, people don't understand that everybody's racist.
Yeah.
In fact, like, honestly, like, in my opinion, like, in certain sort of, like, developing countries, they're even more racist than Canada or the States, just because of, like, cultural tensions and stuff.
Yeah, like, everyone has their own, like, little prejudices that they come from. Like, from wherever they come from, there's lots of, like, little prejudices. I mean, I wouldn't go so far as to say it's, like, a systemic racism problem. However, it is difficult. Like, everyone has discrimination in their country. Like, there's no such thing as a country where discrimination doesn't exist at all.
It's human nature, I swear. Like, just to hate on someone who's not like you, that's just literally human nature, unfortunately. But that was interesting. I think we're coming around the end of our today's show, Rajni, unless you have any other points to bring up?
No, actually. I think we've covered enough. I mean, there's only like 1 minute left, so we should wrap up here.
Well, thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Today's episode was a bit more spontaneous, for sure, but we're trying to see if you guys like that format, or if you just like the sort of the linear format. But yeah, thanks so much for tuning in. My name's Jeffrey, along with my co-host Rajni. Enjoy the week, and we'll catch you next Wednesday at Radio Lorraine News. Take care, everyone.
Thanks. Bye.